Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, which is a fairly lengthy reading. The subject matter is the Lord describing himself as our shepherd. And in that sense, this reading brings to mind other passages that are famous, like Psalm 23, which our sermon hymn was just based on, and our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 15, where Jesus sort of describes himself in that way, using the parable of the lost sheep. In this particular passage, though, the emphasis is on sheep who have been scattered that have now been gathered together by our Lord. And certainly the one who does the gathering is none other than our Lord and Savior, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, rules. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, there are rules that must be followed. You have rules that you have to follow at home. We got a lot of rules that our students have to follow in school. But even those of us who are already out of school, maybe you have other rules that you follow at work. You have rules that you got to pay attention to on the road. You've got rules about how to interact with other people socially. Even when you want to relax, even when you just want to play a game, you've got rules, rules, rules. And that's a really good thing, because if it weren't for rules, then this whole world would be lost. If you didn't have rules, then our sinful natures would just take over, and everything would go down in flames. You know how I know that? Because the Bible talks about that, right? God has rules that he has established for us. We call that his law. And we know what happens in our lives when we don't follow the rules. We call that sin, and things can get really dicey really quickly. But you know how else I know that? Rules are a good thing? Because I'm a parent. Because we got two kids at home. We got one on the way. And Katie and I have to have rules for our house. Not because we don't want our kids to have fun. Not because we want them to be miserable. But because we know if we didn't have rules, then Zoe and Zach would destroy themselves. And they would probably take down that parsonage with them. One of the newest rules in our house is the title of today's sermon. It's On Your Face or In the Case. Now, this rule only applies to Zoe right now, but the reason we had to start this rule for her was because just a couple weeks ago, Zoe got glasses. And so she knows that when it comes to her glasses, they are either on her face or they are in the case. We found out that Zoe was a little bit farsighted, so she was having some trouble seeing up close. And, you know, being in kindergarten, she's learning how to read, she's learning how to write. It's really important for her to wear those glasses, and it's worked out well so far, but this whole thing has opened up a brand new world for Katie and me. Because we don't wear glasses, we don't wear contacts, we've been very blessed in that way, and so we're just not used to this whole thing. You know, we're kind of learning how it all works, and we're certainly learning how much it costs, and it's a little scary to take a valuable pair of glasses and hand them to a five-year-old. But she's done really well with them so far. I have to say, she's been pretty responsible. She's following the rule, on your face or in the case. Because we know if she were just to take the glasses off and set them down, they'd be broken or lost within about a half a second. And we're not naive. Like, we understand that just by making a rule, that doesn't mean that literally nothing bad could ever happen to the glasses. I mean, there is the younger brother factor to consider. Right? One of the first days that Zoe had her glasses on, Zach walked right up to her, he grabbed the glasses off of her face, and he just threw them up in the air. And I was watching this whole thing happen from across the room. It was like in slow motion, you know? And like I was envisioning just dollar bills floating out the window. The glasses fell onto the hardwood floor in the dining room, and I don't even know what sound it made because all I heard was cha-ching, cha-ching. Thankfully, the glasses were okay, but it just kind of goes to show why we need to have rules about the glasses. Anything can happen, right? It's one thing to try to stop a pair of glasses from being destroyed by a kindergartner and her little brother, but it's another thing entirely to consider the fact that God wants us to avoid being destroyed. And so God actually cares about you and me, and he wants for us to be preserved in this world and beyond. So you and I are much more valuable to the Lord than a pair of glasses, and yet at the same time, in a spiritual way, we are infinitely more vulnerable, breakable, fragile. So God, it makes sense then that God would establish some rules, right? That he would establish some commandments in an attempt to make it at least a little bit more difficult for us to destroy ourselves. And so he does this in multiple ways, right? He puts his rules, his law upon your heart. He gives you a conscience. From the first that you are born, you have right and wrong on your heart. And he makes his rules and his law very, very clear in Scripture, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament. And on top of that, he uses fellow believers. He uses fellow Christians to talk to each other, to tell each other about God's rules, to hold each other accountable. God does all of these things. He uses these multiple means, these multiple methods to bring his law to us. And yet we still often will decide that our rules are better than his. And we will often act like sheep, just kind of running away from our shepherd and getting ourselves in all kinds of trouble. And that's pretty much the context behind this Old Testament reading today from Ezekiel chapter 34. Because you had the people of Israel who had spent year after year, generation after generation, breaking God's rules over and over again, particularly his first rule, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. The Israelites broke that rule so many times. And of course, along the way, there was always a faithful remnant. There's always a handful of people that they did believe in the Lord. They did trust in him. They did strive to live according to his commands. And when they did fall short, they would approach God in repentance and humility. There was always a group of people like that. Sometimes the glasses hit the floor and they don't shatter. But by the time you get to the days of Ezekiel, those glasses had completely broken and were shattered all over the floor. The Babylonians came in, they destroyed the temple, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, they carried off a whole bunch of the Israelites off into captivity in Babylon. The people were scattered. They were living in all these different towns and cities and villages. They were experiencing punishment for breaking God's rules. And yet in the midst of all of that pain and suffering, Ezekiel writes these words. And these words are filled with mercy and love. Especially when he says, like here in verse 12, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. In the next verse, he says, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them into their own land. Verse 16, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. So God is saying that even though the sheep have broken the rules, and they've run away from their shepherd, and they've gotten themselves into all kinds of trouble, even though the glasses are shattered and there's shards of glass all over the floor, God is saying he is going to fix this problem. He is going to gather all the people back home where they belong. I think the most important thing to notice in all of this is that for God, the rules are not the things that he places the most value in above and beyond the value of all the people that he has created and the people that he loves. Right? In the end, it's God's love for his people that takes precedence over the fact that they are justly serving their punishment for breaking all the rules. And I think this is true whether you're talking about the Israelites who were in Babylonian captivity or you're talking about you and I today. As we struggle with our own sinfulness, as we deal with the brokenness of this world, we know that God loves his people and his love for them is greater than the rules. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, because I'm not saying that God has completely thrown out the rule book. I'm not saying that his law doesn't apply to us, because it certainly does. God is still holy, and he demands that we be holy too. There's no getting around that. But what I am saying is that God, in his infinite wisdom, has figured out a way for both things to be true. That he can make his people holy, as he demands, and yet, when we fall short of that holiness, his love can protect us. And so that way that God, in his wisdom, planned for is none other than, of course, his Son, our Savior, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's what you get here coming out of the end of this passage. In verse 23, God says, "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them." King David actually had passed away many, many years before these words were ever written. But when the Lord is talking about David in this passage, he's talking ultimately about the one who would be born in the city of David, the one who would be born of the house and lineage of David, the one who is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who sits on David's throne. Jesus is the one who is actually able to do all of God's rules and do them perfectly, and his perfection and his righteousness that he earned, he gave to you and me. He gave us credit for all of those things. So Jesus is the one who ends up protecting us from ourselves, and he protects us from the sin that would otherwise completely scatter us all the way to hell. His death and his resurrection have done so much more than simply just protect a pair of glasses that are fragile. The saying for Jesus is not on your face or in the case. For Jesus, it's on the cross to save the lost. The cross is what takes all of us who are scattered and brings us back home. The cross is what brings us to the place where the shepherd feeds us with his own body and blood, a heavenly meal. And you can hear the dinner bell calling you to this meal, too. If you happen to be someone who lives right here in town, then every Saturday night at 5 o'clock, you hear that dinner bell ring when the steeple bells ring, and it goes ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. And if you're not here in town to hear that, then you hear it on Sunday morning at 9:32. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. The bells are calling us, and the cross is calling us to the place where the shepherd is waiting to shower you with his gifts, to bring you into the good grazing land. Even when you have difficulties in your life and you don't even understand the good shepherd's rules, you can still trust him. You can still obey his voice. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. And view the world with Jesus' glasses through the lens of the cross, which are the kind of glasses that you would never want to take off anyway. The cross of Jesus before your face and never hidden away in the case. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.